It's Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, it's freelance. And we got a lot happening this Shabbos. It's Parshas HaChodesh. It's Parshas Tezria. It's the learning of Masechta Sukkah. So how can we put it all together? Is it possible to pull all these three together? Let's see if we can. So I was thinking a lot about, not just this year, but every time I come to this Gemara, about the pasuk of Kol Hezrach Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. The Gemara addresses that pasuk twice in Masechta Sukkah, where everyone's up to in Shir, but once in Dav Chavzayin Amid Beis, to teach you Shekol Yisrael Yoshvim Masukah Achas. A little bit later in Chavches about Chiyav Nashim and Chiyav Gerim, but the Ikar Drasha is, as the pasuk says, Kol Hezrach Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. So it is applied for a specific halachic purpose to teach you that a sukkah she'ula is kasher, maybe even a sukkah shel shufim is kasher, machlokes Rashi Tosfos. But the general image is a very powerful image of unity, of solidarity. For every single Jew sitting tachas sukkah achas, kol Yisrael yesh, kol azrach b'Yisrael yesh, kol Yisrael yesh, imagine the unity and the solidarity. And then I'm thinking about the relationship between that pasuk and Parshas Emor, and the pasuk in Parshas Bo, in Parshas Chodesh, the shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael. Everyone shachs the Karban Pesach. So they're very similar pesukim and they're very similar mitzvahs. We know there's a gzeirah shav of tesvav that equates Pesach and Sukkot. Of course, they're both Yom Tovim, both Moadim. So what's the difference between the unity in Parshas Bo, the shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael, versus the unity of Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos? I'm just going to talk about one of them, which of course you'll sense maybe can splinter off into some more subtle distinctions. In Parshas HaChodesh, Parshas Bo, you have people that belong to different sectors of the Jewish people. It's not really true, but there is sectorization. You've got people that are Eda, people that are Kahal, people that are B'nai Yisrael. Now, ideally, every person should have all those identities. Now, what those identities mean is not clear. The Rav Soloveitchik talked a lot about the word Eda. The word I would use for Eda is destiny. That we all share a common destiny. What's our destiny? To redeem this world, to represent Hashem in this world. So, when we take a common project, and therefore we share a common destiny, we become an Eda. We become one group, one grouping. Whereas a Kahal is more of a, they aren't united by one destiny or one project, they're just a community, right? Not everyone, let's say in the community of Alon Shvut, has one destiny or one project. We all have different jobs, different aspirations, different lives, but we're all Kahal Kedosha, Kala Kadosha of Alon Shvut. And B'nai Yisrael, which is the third part of that pasuk in Parshas Bo, is probably more biological or genealogical. We all come from a common grandfather, right? So let's say, Lahavdil, two Asians met on the street, they may not be part of the same kahal, they may not be part of the same Eda, because they may have different goals in life and different destinies, and one lives in Paris and one lives in, I don't know, in Holland. But they do come from one common genealogy, one common background. At some point, their grandparents probably lived together in the rice paddies of the Mao dynasty or something. So you feel some degree of commonality. But the point in Parshas Bo is that unity doesn't blur, doesn't scrub identity, doesn't scrub differences. You have different. There's the people you feel close to as a Kahal, people you feel close to as an Eda, people you feel close to as B'nai Yisrael, the different levels of interaction. And the truth is, Alpi Halacha, that came into manifest, that had a halachic manifestation. Because based on these three iterations, V'shachutu Oso Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, the Gemara says in Pesachim, they would offer the Karban Pesach in three different shifts. Actually, three different shifts of people entering the Azara. Now, it's not like they had the Kahal shift and the Eda shift and the B'nai Yisrael shift. They're just three shifts, and Gemara talks about how they made the decisions, who should be in the shifts, and whether you want to be in the first shift or the last shift. It sounds like everyone wants to be in the first shift. But there is symbolic segmentation and striation in the Karban Pesach. We're not walking in at once into the Azara. There's a unity that can be achieved while maintaining differences and different identities and different levels of affiliation. And you still have an overarching, a common process or common experience. And then you contrast that with the pasuk in Sukkah, the pasuk in Emor, Kol Hazrach Yisrael Yeshu Basukos Melamed Yekol Yisrael Yoshu Misukachas. They're all in the same sukkah together, and there's one commonality, and there's no difference, and there's no Kahal Adas Yisrael. It's simply Kol Ezrach That's why the word Ezrach is a much more civilian, mundane term. It has nothing to do with fate or destiny. It's just you're all Jews, regardless of where you come from and what your fate is and what your destiny is. And of course, in a larger sense, you're sitting under the sukkah, and there are experiences in life which do blur our identity and should blur our identity. So, for example, from a tragic standpoint, think about this week. And think about the fact that we just suffered horrendous, hideous terror with the daven from Yisrael, and continue to hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will extend his sukkah shalom aleinu, what we say tonight during davening. But then this week, everyone, there's no difference between whether you're a Dati Lumi or Haredi or secular, or even people who weren't Jewish who belong to our general project of building Eretz Israel, Arabs, Christian Arab, any Arab that belongs to this process and lives alongside of us, people that came from the Ukraine to work here, to be part of building the land. So, Lahavdil, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends his protective shelter, which is a sukkah, so when you're protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's really no difference. You're in a bomb shelter. There are no bomb shelters for Tamid Chachamim and bomb shelters from here. Everyone's together in the bomb shelter. Everyone's together under the sukkah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extending his hashgacha over everyone. And that's really part of the challenge of living in Eretz Yisrael. On the one hand, you have to feel identified completely and totally with every single, let's talk about Yidden right now. Obviously, we alluded to it before that there are people who live here who aren't Jewish, and we also have some degree of affiliation with them. But most of us are Jewish, and we've come back to our land. And whether the person's secular or not secular, or religious, not dati, we heard great Hasbedim this week about Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and just to feel a gut, instinctive, innate connection to every single Yid. I remember Rav Aaron was once asked the following question, and it's a famous answer, Rav Aaron. But it's a famous answer because the answer is both right and wrong in the same way. And he said, if I remember correctly, he said both of them. Rav Aaron said, if you're sitting on a park bench, and on one side of you is a Haredi, and the other side of you is a secular Jew, who should you feel closer to? Now, the answer to that question has to be a two-stage answer. The first stage of that answer is, we don't make those distinctions. Every Yid Basher Husham, every single Yid is holy, and every single Yid is part of our family. Even the fact that you're asking that question, you know, you can't even ask the question. The question doesn't have an answer. But the second part of the answer is, that being said, in terms of identifying whose lifestyle more resembles my life and who I'm going to naturally feel closer to. So let's say Joey, you know, is in Gush Etzion. Let's say you have a friend in Lev HaTorah. You're both wonderful Yidden. I love you. But we share much of our life together. We see each other every day. When you come to my shiurim, you smile at me. We eat the same oily meat barakas on Tuesday. So that's going to feel naturally more affiliated, even though, in theory, my love for the boys down this yeshiva is going to be, we just spend so much time together. And Rav Aaron was trying to tell us, you're spending so much of your life that's similar to Haredim, so you should feel closer, not to the exclusion of the other Jew, but just naturally. You put on tefillin this morning, put on tefillin in B'nai Brak. You're going to keep Shabbos, you're going to make a bracha today in breakfast, they'll make a bracha today in breakfast. You can keep so much of what they are, so you want to feel that natural solidarity. So sukkah and Pesach are complementary views of solidarity. Solidarity of Pesach is, you have different identities. You have your hashkafa, your derech, chassidus, that way of learning, that style of learning, this year, that year. And you're supposed to have, because without identity, unity is not meant to scrub identity. A lot of people have that challenge, like, well, if we're supposed to be unified, what does it mean to be different? Maybe there is no derech. What does it mean to believe? Hashem wants people to find their own individual expression and their own individual derech, their own individual way of being an Oved Hashem. Hashem wants diversity. Hashem doesn't want. Some people made the bracha at the funeral. What's a bracha when you see 600,000 Jews, like at Sinai? Right. So ironically, the bracha isn't, oh, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're reliving our Sinai. You don't mention our Sinai. You mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates diversity. Baruch Hacham Harazim. Just like they look differently, and we want each other to look differently. Imagine if everyone looked like each other, it'd be a nightmarish world. We want people to look different, to feel different, to dress different, to have differences in their experience. And Hashem wants there to be difference in Avodas Hashem, because He made us different. Hashem doesn't want to homogenize us. We should all be the same. Hashem wants us to find our derech and find our chelik in Torah and find our chelik in Avodas Hashem. So He wants us to have different identities, as is suggested by Korban Pesach, and then all be united by one common form of practice, halacha, shechitas Korban Pesach, identity of Jewish identity. But then Sukkah is saying, at some point in your life, those identities have to blur, and at some point, you just feel so united and so And to be honest, that's what's very hard about living in Eretz Yisrael. When you live in Chutz Laaretz, you really don't live amongst too many people who are different from you. Right? How much contact did you have with Reform Jews? How much contact did you have with Conservative Jews? And even if you had contact, it was contact in which it was clear that there was less identification, that we have a certain lifestyle, a very different lifestyle. We have common ground, obviously, Eretz Yisrael, State of Israel. We both believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can find the common ground. But here, I mean, just for example, last night, there was a lot on the news about one of these police soldiers, a policeman who was killed in the Bnei Brak event, Bnei Brak terror incident. And he was a Christian Arab, and it was beautiful to see the ceremonies, and they had a beautiful funeral outside of his church, and they carried him in a casket with the Israeli flag, because there's a person who's absolutely strongly and passionately committed to defending our people. He's a hero of our people. Okay, but and then, you know, for us, we realize, okay, but he's different. He's just someone who's a hero. Let's say a secular soldier dies in battle, secular Jewish soldier. So we, as we should, we laud his memory and we give him honor and we give the family honor. So if you're a 15-year-old kid growing up in high school, you say, oh, I can also be a great Jew by being a secular soldier. So it's very hard. Adults learn to ordinate different values. Ordinate means like a pyramid. What's more important, what's less important, how do they all interact with one another? Kids are much more binary, so it's much easier to raise children when you have a binary sense of in or out. If you want to be Jewish in America, how are you Jewish? You're religious. You're from. If you're not from, you basically, it's hard to imagine yourself being Jewish. Here, there are many, many, many layers to Judaism, which makes your Judaism deeper if you succeed at it, but it's harder to ordinate them and to create that symmetry. A lot to talk about. I promise you a little bit about Tazria. So we talked about Mesach HaSukkah and Parshas HaChodesh, but it's Parshas Tazria also. So Parshas Tazria describes the ceremony, and has to be connected. So it has a ceremony of the Metzorah. It's actually a little bit more Metzorah. Now, in many ways, the ceremony of the Metzorah to be Tar is very, very similar to the ceremony of Azav and Azava and the ceremony of a Yoledes. Basically, they all have to wait more or less a week after a certain point. And when that week is over, they go to the mikvah, and they bring korbanos, and they come back into society and face a mikdash. The mitzvah has a pre-ceremony ceremony. I feel it's hard for them to learn mitzvah, but the mitzvah, on the day he gets healed, has a ceremony. Then he waits 7 days, and then he has his classic korbanos mikvah ceremony. And what happens on the pre-ceremony ceremony? What happens? Two basic parts to the ceremony. One is the tiglachas. He has to shave all of his bodily hair. And one is he has to take two birds. They have to be identical. One bird gets shechted and the blood gets taken to a kli. The other bird gets bundled in a little wad with an eitz eres, ezov, shnitolas. And together he takes that bird with the entire wad, dips it into the blood, and puts the coin takes the blood and brushes the blood on the hand of the matzara. And at that point, he begins a 7-day week, waiting period. So the matzara is a pre-ceremony. Now what happens in this pre-ceremony? So there are two parts. The tiglachas makes a lot of sense. Why? Because you're looking for a fresh start. You're looking to delete the past. The Metzara committed some terrible crimes, presumably. Lashon Hara, Gaiva, even not. He had a terrible disease. He had a terrible breakdown. We want to press the delete button and the restart. How do you restart? You eliminate the past. How do you eliminate the past? You shave your hair, which obviously the hair that you have today grew for the last couple of weeks. And you shave it, so everything in the past is out. Now you move forward. So you shaved your hair. But what is the ceremony of reeds and blood and sprinkling? What does that sound like?
Pesach.
Lekachtem lechem agudas ezav utvotem adam asher basav v'gatam lemashkok yashtem zizaz min adam asher basav. So somehow the process of the Metzorah is returning it back to Eretz Mitzrayim, to the night of the Seder. Why? Because the Metzorah is looking for identity. His identity has been shattered. He sat like an outcast, like a leper, like a social pariah. For maybe 3 weeks, the maximum you can sit for 3 weeks. You could have sat there in quarantine for a month. You all sat in quarantine for a week during Corona. Under better conditions than the Metzorah, you had food, you had people talking to you, you didn't have, your body wasn't pockmarked with all sorts of illnesses and disgusting, revolting. So he's looking for identity. He's looking to rebuild this future. So one way you rebuild it, then he's deleting the past and turning over a fresh leaf, literally. But another way is you go back to Mitzrayim and you say, part of my identity is I belong to a people. And that people became a people the night of Mitzrayim. And maybe I'll have more success in life, maybe I'll have less success in life, maybe I'm a Mitzorah, maybe I'm healthy, maybe I'm a saint, maybe I'm a sinner, but I belong to Am Yisrael. And at that night in Mitzrayim, we put the Dam through an Ezov, and I belong to something larger than myself. So whatever I accomplish in this world, I'll try harder, as hard as I can, to make my mark and to be an Oved Hashem, but I am inherently part of Am Yisrael from that night onwards, and that's where you find meaning. So you go back to Mitzrayim, and you go back to that door, and you find meaning as a Matzara. So we talked today a lot about collective meaning and personal meaning, diversity versus solidarity, identity differences versus identity scrubbing. It's a lot to think about between the Pasuk in Parshas HaChodesh, V'shachatu Esau Kol Kal Adas Yisrael, the Pasuk in Emor, Kol Ezrach Biso Yeshu Basukos, the Pasuk in Bo, V'chachtem Es Adam Asher Basav, V'tvaltem Egudas Ezo, the Pasuk in Metzara, it's actually in Parshas Metzara, where it's a pre-ceremony. It's a lot to think about our people this week in the Sab Nishas. Okay? We got it all in. Good thing it's not also, I don't know. I can't be any more. I get partial. Look, it's true. It could be partial.